Hello, hello, and thank you for spending another midweek moment with the Wisconsin Property Taxpayers. I'm Paul Roseski. Let's get things started and get you set up for the week. Funny, I typically don't do a history segment. Now we have one 2 weeks in a row. I can't knowingly ignore one of the pivotal moments in U.S. history. On April 9th, 1865, General Robert E. Lee of the Confederate Army surrendered at Appomattox Courthouse. As we see the temperatures warming up as the week goes along, it's a good reason to celebrate Golf Day on Thursday and follow it up with National Dive Bar Day on Friday. However you enjoy life, please celebrate responsibly. For quote of the week, this week is from yet another U.S. president, and we won't get to it unless we get going. So let's jump into some news together. And let's start with a national bipartisan bill proposal introduced by Wisconsin's own Glenn Grothman. He joined Republican James Langford of Oklahoma, along with Democrat Don Beyer of Virginia, and high-profile Democrat Cory Booker of New Jersey to introduce the No Tax Subsidies for Stadiums Act. It would prohibit professional sports teams from using tax-exempt municipal bonds to finance the construction of stadiums. In other words, no more taxpayer subsidies to build professional sports stadiums. They argue that those tax exemptions were originally intended to help local governments fund infrastructure projects like hospitals, schools, and roads. Interesting concept, and I feel like this is as much good politics as it is good policy. It probably won't take too much effort to get a majority of the population thinking, these billionaire owners don't need my tax dollars. Heck, it already costs 12 bucks to get a beer. They're not wrong. In other news, there has been a company laying the groundwork for another potential massive data center here in Wisconsin. And now it would appear that they were laying the groundwork on behalf of Meta / Facebook, Instagram, and all that stuff. The project is expected to cost over $800 million over multiple years, another big investment for Wisconsin. In other news, that announcement is a decent transition to the related topic of energy. When it comes to data centers, I've seen estimates, one saying that the Microsoft data center, when it's fully expanded and operational, the one that's down in Kenosha, it'll be pulling as much energy as the entire city of Madison. That is a lot of energy. Interestingly enough, some of the energy companies in the past weeks have announced policies where there will be an additional energy surcharge for consumers that go over a particular level of usage. Now, there's way more to get into here than a quick snapshot podcast like this is going to get into, but our energy demand is going to be more than what we can provide right now. And when demand ramps up more than supply, prices are impacted, and that's going to be a problem, especially because Wisconsin's already 34th in energy affordability nationwide. That means we're in the bottom half. When compared to 13 Midwest states, Wisconsin has the second highest average residential energy rates and the third highest industrial energy rates. And that is definitely a problem because on top of that, We Energies is already has the approval for rates to increase by an estimate of over about 12% by the end of 2026 and over 11% for WPS customers. To MG&E's credit, they asked for a smaller increase than the other two, but in comparison, our rates are high and there's multiple reasons to think that they're only going to get higher. In other news, while we're working on a state budget, the other high-profile topic in the Capitol is still the bill that focuses on Wisconsin energy companies having the right of first refusal to build power lines. Right of first refusal, the acronym for that is ROFR. That's what the bill's been called or nicknamed. Now, last session, it got passed out of committee. It passed in the Assembly, but didn't go anywhere in the Senate. This session, it doesn't even have a path to make it out of committee. That's how much it's become contentious. So the authors went back to the drawing board and put together a draft of a revised version that's being called the Wisconsin Energy Reform Act, which is being called a sweeping energy reform bill. Translation is that things were added to the original ROFR bill to help get some of the skeptics on board by putting on some of their priorities. One addition would add a provision for cities, villages, and towns or counties to have some local control and potentially restrict the installation of solar, battery, or wind installations as long as the restriction serves to preserve or protect public health or safety. That's been a major push from a lot of people in the ag community, and quite frankly, it's a big olive branch. There's also a provision that requires the owners of large wind, solar, or battery systems that use prime farmland. So if you're putting these installations on prime farmland, you have to purchase easements before placing the system. Translation, for every acre of prime farmland used in the project, the owner must purchase easements on 4 acres of prime farmland as close as possible to the project and payable over 5 years. The priority is to do right by the surrounding farmers, the ones that are just contiguous to it. At a minimum, it has to be in the town. They have to find some in the county. And at a minimum, they can then look at the entire state if they've exhausted all those other options. Major olive branch number 2 is that. Unofficial olive branch number 3 is including a provision that requires light mitigating technology on wind systems and transmission line towers. This is an olive branch because it was proposed by the head of the Agriculture Committee last season, somebody that's been in the legislature for about a decade and has a lot of sway on that side of the room, actually went out of their way to vote against ROFR, but now with their olive, with multiple ag olive branches in here, now that person is flipped and they're now a supporter of this because of so many things that could be able to go through. Also included in this bill is a statement that nuclear energy is a high priority policy for Wisconsin. And that one's interesting because a bill saying that was already proposed earlier this session, but now it's being folded into this one. It's maybe not necessary because the author of that bill was already on board and in favor of ROFR. So for me, it's just kind of interesting add-on. Now, here's where I think it gets interesting. It's being sold as being more competitive because it's going to include a bidding process for interstate and intrastate electrical transmission lines that will significantly increase the accountability of developers and owners of these large transmission lines to the citizens. Well, that's all well and good, but as I read the bill, it says it grants an incumbent transmission facility owner the right to construct, own, and maintain a transmission facility that has been approved for construction in the Mid-Continent Independent System Operators Transmission Plan that connects to transmission facilities owned by that incumbent transmission facility owner. Translation, because that was a mouthful. The previous right to refusal bill applied to interstate transmission lines, so Wisconsin could take advantage of cost saving with the Mid-Continent Independent System Operators. If this bill gives, quote, incumbent transmission facility operators the right to construct, own, and maintain a transmission facility. It's the same thing. If I'm reading this correctly, transmission lines inside the state are required to have competitive bidding, but interstate lines still give energy companies the right of first refusal at the end of the day. The energy companies still want that control. They want it, but they're willing to give a bunch of back-end concessions. That may well be all good, and the legislature has worked long and hard to strike these deals and bring people in and add stuff in. But as we've seen in the past, the governor's veto pen sometimes plays by its own rules. And some of the items that I just talked about would almost certainly be vetoed by Governor Evers if they were presented to him in their own standalone bill. So will it be different if it's rolled up in this package? Seems like a very reasonable question. This is another one that'll be very interesting to see how it plays out. And finally, in the spirit of the energy reform bill, I leave you with a quote about the give and take of negotiations and giving concessions. I've never been terribly interested in why people give, because their motivation is rarely what it seems to be, and it's almost never true altruism. Unquote. Who is that quote from, you ask? It's from none other than POTUS 47 from his book, The Art of the Deal. Have a great second half of your week, and as always, thanks for listening. The Wisconsin Property Taxpayers Inc. is a nonpartisan membership organization consisting of thousands of small business, farm, and homeowner members in every slowly thawing corner of the state. Founded in 1985, the organization is committed to providing its members with up-to-date information, legislative advocacy, and exclusive cost-saving benefits. Find out how to join at wptonline.org/join.